dehumanization of dinosaurs.
Episode of Dynamic Resolution, a video game show. That's right. We are back with another episode of Dynamic Resolution. This is actually the second recording we've done this week. You will see the fruits of our labors this coming Friday. Yeah, Friday at the Geekscape charity live stream for Big Brothers Big Sisters of New Jersey. So be sure to follow Geekscape Forever on Instagram. And check out the Twitch and YouTube page and Facebook page. They do multi-streaming, and it's all-day stream. We've got segments. I have the day off, so I'll be trying to weasel my way in there and cause some chaos. So shouts out to Matt Kelly, basically the person who runs Geekscape with all the programming, director of programming. He's got like 15 podcasts himself, but... we got
what,
Logan.
What can't he do? What can't he do?
Actually, you know what?
Get through an episode of our show.
I don't know. His a number of weeks ago, his brother reached out to us and wanted to make a documentary about him. So I got interviewed briefly.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there's basically just like how awesome Matt Kelly is, and I wish I had more. I was kind of nervous, so I wish I had more like coherent stories, but I'm in there a little bit. But yeah, he's a good guy. So, but we got Logan, we got Josh, Derek is recovering from our from our recording. Should we give a little like just sneak peek of what we did? What do you guys think?
If you've listen to the past few episodes and you noticed a little theme when it comes to food, you probably have a good idea.
Yeah,
you do, but you don't.
Yeah you don't know what deprived lengths we went to.
Yeah, let's just say it'll hard to keep down the laughter. So yeah, we got Logan and Josh, you were day one of LA Comic Con, or is it day two? What, day one, day two?
Day it's two? Day two, but day one was from like 5 to 8, so that doesn't count.
It's like,
yeah, that doesn't count.
That's like preview night at San Diego.
Yeah, but we were there all day today. But yeah, it was pretty fun. We hit up two panels, one of which was like an 80s nostalgia panel featuring Paul and a group of other Geekscape network hosts from $2 Late Fee and from a couple other shows. They just kind of went over just things like the old Chuck Norris cartoon.
Was it Chuck Norris cartoon?
Oh, dude, you never seen that?
No.
I thought it was... Well, for a while, they played it on Adult Swim as a gag, like in the mid-2000s. But
oh, really?
Huh. I must have just always caught different episodes because I thought that the show went on for a really long time based off of Adult Swim, but it turns out the show was only like 6 episodes and got canceled super quick.
Oh, the Karate Commandos. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that does sound vaguely familiar.
Yeah, it was like Chuck Norris and like a collection of racist Asian stereotypes fighting other racist Asian stereotypes.
Okay, well, at least
so it was very, very 80s.
I've recently started Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Nerd.
Yeah. I've watched all of TNG, a lot of the original, all of Voyager. Voyager's my favorite. Watched all of Enterprise. But I was Deep Space Nine when I was a kid. That's, you know, what was airing. I think I was too young to like enjoy it. So I was like, man, this Star Trek sucks. They don't go anywhere. But I've been getting a lot of clips of Deep Space Nine. So I was like, let's start this. But there's an episode where I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen clips where three of the crew from Deep Space Nine go through like a time portal and they end up on the original series, in an episode of the original series where they're in like a bar, and it's a famous scene where the Klingons are introduced and they're fighting Scotty and Bones. And back the Klingons from the original series from the 60s look very different than all the other ones. They're basically just like really, really racist Chinese stereotypes with like Fu Manchus, and like they talk you know, very racist stereotypes. And then I think there's a line where Worf goes like, "We do not talk about this period of our history with outsiders." So, Karate Commandos comes from, I think probably from the same era. That was a very long-winded tangent. But then I also learned how it happened. I'm starting to like geek out on Star Trek.
I always wanted to get into Star Trek, but I just can't. I mean, I haven't given it a fair shot. But like growing up, it was always like you either like Star Wars or you like Star Trek. And I was a Star Wars kid.
Oh, yeah. Dude. And like Star Trek... got into like some of the Star Trek movies, but nothing TV wise at all.
Yeah, the movies were fucking
dope. I often come across like massive collections of Star Trek VHS tapes at like flea markets. And I'm always like, man, I wish I gave a shit because I'd be hitting the mother load right now.
that's like a meme at this point where, because the show was so popular and like VHS had that like, like the show, and then VHS came out after the original. So that was like, what do we put on this new thing? Oh, the most popular TV show like currently, let's fucking put Star Trek on there. I do want to say that Star Trek Armada is on goodoldgames.com. That is a real-time strategy game set in the obviously the Star Trek universe. I wonder if they have Star Trek Armada 2. They got it. Oh, dude, $10. Let's fucking go.
Let's go.
When did this come out? 2001, which is like the era, like the renaissance of real-time strategy games. But I remember vividly as a kid, because you can like warp across the map, but if you have the you can build the ship, the Enterprise, like the ship, the class of ship that the Enterprise from the Next Generation is, and you could separate the saucer from like the command bridge, and you could have like two ships, and I'm like, yo, it's just like the fucking movie, let's go. So anyway, Star Trek's cool. So what else did you see?
I hope to find out someday.
What else did you see at LAC?
The other panel that we went to was a Johnny Bravo panel. And they kind of went over the story. They brought in like the original creator of the show and the voice actor for Johnny, and then a few other voice actors. So about half of the panel was spent kind of explaining the history of the show, which I never knew directly. Like I knew when I watched it, when it was new, the animation at a certain point obviously changed, and like the tone of like the writing and the humor changed a bit. So there was obviously a shakeup there, but I never realized the details of it, where essentially Hanna-Barbera, after the first season, had like fired almost the entire original crew and took over the show with their own like internal teams, which is what caused the shift, I guess. But then the second half of the panel was because they had already started working on their own version of the second season before they got fired. So they ended up doing like a live table read of one of the scripts that they had written that was never produced. So, the plot was essentially like, you guys have watched the show, I'm assuming, or remember what it's about?
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember it. I don't remember it super well, but I know I liked it growing up, and I know like I've seen like clips here and there. In recent time.
He's like a kind of dumb, strong bodybuilder, James Dean.
Always trying to pick up every woman he sees.
Yeah. Hey, pretty mama. The funniest line ever is there's a clip from a show where he's on like a tour of like Washington DC, and there's the tour guide, this lady is like, and this is the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote, and he goes, why would I want to do that?
Oh, that reminds me too, one of the first things they showed was the creator student film that inspired the show, and he actually played that for the audience, but and in that version of it, he's pretty much just straight up Elvis.
Okay.
I can see that. I hope that this panel like makes its way into like a YouTube video or like because like this sounds like the sort of like niche topic ass like YouTube documentary I'd be all about. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, the thing is, it was a small room, so it would have been hard to get away with. If they keep, they said this is their first ever panel, so if they keep doing this, I'm sure it'll get out at some point. But they say at the start, like, oh, don't film any of this. Mm. So I don't know.
Even if like no footage comes out, like this sounds like the like foundation of a good independent documentary about like the untold history of Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, right. Like a really long winded monotone video essay.
Oh my God, I'm so down. I'm here for it. I love video essays.
It's funny you mentioned that too, because there was like two things that they showed that I don't think are really like publicly available. So like the first one was like the student film that I was mentioning, and there was one particular joke in it where he's like, of course, he's like trying to pick up on this girl, and he goes, like, how, he's like, and he straight up asks her, like, how old are you? She's like, 15. No, what'd she say? 15. And he's like, when are you turn 16? And she's like, in about 6 months. And he's like, damn. And he leaves. And I was like, oh shit. Like, someone behind us was like, well, they wouldn't be able to make jokes like that nowadays. And I'm like, they weren't able to make them back then, because that shit never got into the podcast. Yeah. Like,
for like the right audience, that's so funny. That's such a good joke. It's just not the sort of thing you can get Cartoon Network to sign off on.
Right. So like that was one cool thing. And another thing they showed was they had like a big going away party when they completely wrapped the show, I think at season 4 or 5. And they did a video that was just for the party that they threw, where one of the writers was wearing like a paper Mr. T mask, pretending to be Mr. T to introduce the party. And then the actual real Mr. T walks up and he was like, hey, who are you, fool? And they were talking about how they filmed this scene. I don't know how they did it, but they actually filmed it at Mr. T's house.
Oh,
and they convinced him. They convinced him to like film this skit specifically for their little private party.
That's why Mr. T of all people?
I have no idea, but they played that skit in full. And yeah,
The way you're talking, this reminds me of this YouTube channel, Devnull, Devnull. I found him through this like Pepsi Man documentary he made, but he's done a lot of videos on like deep dives into random advertising. Like he did like a video all about the like Geico cavemen commercials and
the Quiznos, the Sponge Monkeys, or whatever they were.
He did the like Slim Jim commercial. Like, this sounds exactly like the sort of thing he would do like a mini documentary about.
Yeah, like it was really interesting. It sucks that, you know, that there's no footage out there, but I'm pretty sure that part of the reason was because this is all like technically owned by Cartoon Network or whoever owns Cartoon Network at this point.
Yeah,
so like they can't really show any of it, but it was all really interesting, and hopefully they continue to do panels and more people kind of get to see this stuff, because
like, yeah, for real,
because like I started on sorry, my cat's climbing on the top of my shirts in our closet anyway.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I started with Nickelodeon with like Rugrats, Doug, Ren and Stimpy, and then eventually moved on to like Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls, and Johnny Bravo and those shows. So it was really cool to kind of see the background, kind of some of the background political drama and kind of the direction they wanted to take it.
Yeah, I don't know, like Steve.
Yeah, like corporate politics, like, oh, we're going to keep the show and get rid of all the people who created it kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know a whole lot about that whole scene that existed in like Cartoon Network and Hanna-Barbera and everything. But everything I've ever learned around like the formation of Adult Swim and like how they started that and how like they had a whole bunch of Hanna-Barbera cartoons and that's how they literally scissors and pasted together like Space Ghost Coast to Coast and stuff like that because that's like they had access to.
Oh like, man, what if there was a 20-minute long monotone video essay celebrating the 20th anniversary of Adult Swim? What if that was available? Do you think
I know I've watched it.
It sounds familiar.
Go to Geekscape TV. I did a video essay.
Just what I know about that whole like era of these like creatives working in TV, it's like there's definitely stories to tell from that. There's got to be so much that people just don't know.
Yeah, and like speaking of Hanna-Barbera, that reminded me of like my favorite Johnny Bravo joke. So there was like a string of episodes they did where it was kind of like Johnny Bravo meets like some celebrity, and it would be like those old Scooby-Doo episodes. Yeah. So there was like one with Weird Al. There's one with Donny Osmond. Yeah. There's one with like Farrah Fawcett. But there was this one really funny one where...
Doesn't he bang Velma or something?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like the Scooby-Doo one was like my favorite one. And they did this really funny gag where like he's running from the monster and he bumps into Velma and they both lose their glasses. So then Velma's like, my glasses, I can't see without my glasses.
He's like, I can't be seen without my glasses.
Yeah, I can't be seen without my glasses. So perfect. But yeah, I love that show. It was cool to see that. But yeah, outside of that, we didn't do anything aside from shop. And I did pick up some cool stuff that I'll show real quick. So here was Metal Slug 7.
$44?
Dude, it was going with the box online, it's like $200.
Oh,
so
dang. Why?
And because they made like 5 copies of it. And this is the last Metal Slug game up to this point. So I never had a chance to play it.
I played that spiritual successor to Metal Slug, the Alex Jones game.
Something's telling me this one's going to be a lot better, though. I actually heard it's pretty good, but it was only released on the DS. It was never in arcades or anything. It's never been on any collections.
Hotel Dusk 2.
You saw the Trace Memory collection they're coming out with, right?
No.
So, I think next month Switch is getting a Trace Memory collection. And it's going to be a completely remade version of Part 1, which is like brand new. And then a port of Part 2 that only came out in Japan and Europe, I think.
Another code recollection is... Oh, yeah, I remember. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that if that does well enough that maybe a Hotel Dusk will come. Because
I remember... I got on my original launch DS, all my friends and I, we all got R4 carts and then just would dump ROMs. And I was like, Hotel Dusk, this is an M-rated game. Let's try it. And I was just, I loved it. I don't normally like those kind of visual novel games, but this one was really cool.
I remember with Hotel Dusk, I just got super stuck and at a certain point and never got past it.
Yep, same here.
Even like Trace Memory, I remember a lot of people solved this puzzle by accident, but you were supposed to stamp something, but like the buttons didn't do anything, the touchscreen didn't do anything, and the solution was you're supposed to close your DS, and then when you reopened it, like the stamp like went from the top screen to the bottom to solve the puzzle.
That's really cool and clever, but a lot
of people never figured it out though, because like what the fuck? I think I know a lot of people who did it by accident, like they got frustrated, closed their DS, and walked away. And then when they came back to try it again, it was just solved.
That was a puzzle in Spirit Tracks. It was like you have your map on the bottom screen, and then you have like you had something else on the top screen. And it was like, how do I combine something with the map? And you'd be hunting around in the menus, and it's just like, oh wait, you just sandwich the DS together, the game must know like. A flag must be flipped or like something gets called where it's like, oh, the DS went to sleep, so the screen got closed. Because I think there was when the 2DS came out, there was like they added like a sleep button, I think, or something specifically. And like they said, like, oh man, there was they put out a notice like, hey, if you're playing these games, this is how you do it. So like they had to put out like a notice, like a PSA. So let's see what you got. What's the next one?
So next one I got was Final Fantasy IV Heroes of Light.
Yo, is that the like the 4-player dungeon crawler one?
No, this one's like a single player one, but it's kind of its own original story. Oh. So this one is like made by the developers of that Final Fantasy IV 3D remake that they made.
Mm-hmm.
So afterwards, they commissioned that same company to make like an original Final Fantasy game. And then this is essentially the prequel to Bravely Default, because eventually they decided to let them continue to make their own series of RPGs, but they decided to spin it off into its own original series instead of continuing to attach Final Fantasy to it. Okay. So in a way, this is kind of like Bravely Default Zero, I guess, like before Bravely Default One. And it's something that I've always wanted to play, but never got around to picking it up.
Okay.
Well, so whenever I get a chance to burn through all these fucking RPGs.
Will require a full review. I'm gonna look it up. The four Heroes of Light. I'm gonna see if our friend on Metacritic gave it a negative review.
And then while you look it up, I'll show the last thing.
There was a review last month.
from that guy?
No.
That would be wild if it was that guy.
El Sistema. Es un poco raro el principio. All right, time to fucking translate. Sorry, dog. Go on.
The last thing, I guess, de facto enemy of the pod at this point, but I got a Yu-Gi-Oh! XYZ Dragon Cannon Funko
Hell
Pop.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
It's
Funko Pops that aren't people are cool.
That's kind of my philosophy.
Yeah, they're just neat little figures.
And people that collect Funko Pops aren't people.
True.
Yo, I just noticed the
they're
shit
monsters.
Don't look at that shelf there. None of that.
I just registered all that shit on top of your shelf. Holy shit. Oh, man.
Yeah, we don't need to pay attention.
That's pretty big, Josh.
Yeah.
Is it like the Funko like Extreme or whatever?
Yeah, like they had a Blue Eyes Toon Dragon at a Hot Topic, and I bought it. I was like a buy one, get one half off with an Inuyasha one. Once I checked out, they're like, oh, sorry, the Inuyasha one's a convention exclusive and those don't apply for the discounts. So ever since then, I was like, I wish I got this one instead so that it could have applied. And then we found a booth that was selling it for like half off, which is what it would have been if I got it as part of the deal. So it's a right.
It was meant
wronged.
To be.
Yeah, there you go.
Meant to be.
I mean, a wrong's been righted, or
yeah,
a wrong has been. I don't know how the fuck you say it. It's late.
Wrong has been righted.
Three rights make a righted. Left. I don't know, man.
Same game too, more sloppy.
But yeah, so that's what I limited myself to. Like, I'm not making money right now, so I should probably not buy anything else. But we'll see what I come across tomorrow. And then we have our Geekscape panel tomorrow that I'll be on. That we'll probably talk about next show.
Yeah,
and. Hopefully, we'll
if you're listening
have something...
to this, it's probably too late. But
yeah, so if you happen to hear us talking about this somehow live, if you're in the vicinity of any of our voices, we're doing a panel tomorrow.
Well, actually, what time is the panel?
You know, that's a good question.
because this podcast will go live at 1 p.m. Pacific time.
I'm pretty sure it's 1 p.m.
All right, so you can...
Damn, so if you're listening to this the second it goes live, you're missing the panel.
Yeah.
You fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up the schedule and make sure. But yeah, but that's about all we did today.
Was there any weirdly aggressive military recruitment booths at the convention?
Yes, the whole side of one of the halls was like the Marines next to the Army next.
Yo.
And they had like the Marines had the I actually just saw like a reel on Facebook that had this exact thing, but they had the Marines with like the pull-up bar and they're like, hey, how many pull-ups can you do, and trying to get people to come down and just
hey, you sweaty weeb, how many pull-ups can you do?
There was some anime convention where the Air Force or maybe the Reserve had like some cosplayer, some Misato cosplayer on like a turntable, and they were like, look, we got a cosplayer in our booth. Do you want to join the Army Reserve?
Oh my god, that's horrible. I did see a T-Mobile booth that was like, they kept saying, oh, spin the wheel for a prize. And then I looked at the wheel and all of the prizes were learn more about upgrades, learn more about trade-ins, learn more.
Damn.
The prize was just an upsell opportunity.
Right.
Imagine like you really wanted to learn how to upgrade your phone, but you get the like... Ah, oh, fuck. I got to learn about the mobile 5G. Son of a bitch.
That's fun. I don't have my notebook, so I'm making notes on Microsoft Notepad. Yeah, there's been like a really like... I've seen reels and stuff from like various anime conventions and like Comic-Cons where there's been a weirdly high... like military recruitment presence. Like there was one anime convention where I think the FBI had a booth, like join the FBI. It's like, like,
is it that easy?
Yeah.
Are they that hard up on new workers?
Have you watched Case Closed? Then we have an occupation for you.
I think Jesus there was like the ATF was at a booth somewhere. So, damn, what was your least impressed thing at the convention where you're like, why is it like, besides the military recruitment, was the beef jerky guy there?
He was, but it was actually pretty crowded, so we didn't stop. What we did do was they had this giant G Fuel booth. I didn't realize it was like the whole front, like kind of the whole like front center-ish area of that one hall. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know they made so much damn G Fuel. They had a Gwen flavor that I almost wanted to buy just because of that, but I wouldn't have ever drank it.
Oh. I wonder
what that tastes like.
I'm gonna bite my tongue. Bite my tongue. There's I remember the when I was like deep like in a depression a long time ago. My dad accidentally drank my Finish the Fight 2007 Halo 3 Gamer Fuel Mountain Dew that I had in the fridge. I still have the can, but like he drank it and I just started bawling. And I was like, I don't get it. What's wrong?
Have you got a Game Fuel that's out now?
No. I could have compared.
Yeah.
I almost got that as my mystery drink.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been good. Because
they had it at the store when we were shopping for the other stuff.
you're letting too much get out. You need to see. Oh,
well, we know it's not Gamer Fuel.
Yeah.
Anyone listening probably doesn't even know what the fuck we're talking about. They're like,
oh, they will.
Mystery drink at Comic-Con? What the fuck are you talking about?
Don't worry. I'll release the audio of our pre-recorded charity stream event as a bonus episode.
Hell yeah.
Maybe the whole video will be up somewhere. I for breakfast today before going to the gym, I had a Crash Bandicoot Wumpa Fruit G Fuel and two Quest bars. So when I a couple episodes ago when I said that I do often have that for breakfast, that's true. So, yeah, do we want to get into, Logan and I have been playing a lot of Payday 3.
Yeah, I wasn't on the last show, and on that show I would have talked about this, but I've been playing Cult of the Lamb, finally, since I finally got my physical copy, almost a year after I ordered it. Man, I'm mad that I had to wait a year to play this game, because this game's fucking great.
Oh, I was going to say, this game sucked.
No, this game's fucking awesome. I fucking love it. I technically beat it last night, but, like, I'm not done with it. I still have plenty to do. But no, it's so funny too, because on the last episode you guys were talking about how you don't like roguelikes. I think, Josh, because you were playing Hades or something.
Yeah, I finally beat it.
Yeah, I thought it was so funny that, like, you guys were talking about, like, not liking roguelikes, and I was like,
I'm sorry.
Man.
I'm sorry. I pulled up, we were going to talk about the Game Awards, and Steam has, like, their Game Awards, and I was going to try to pull up, like, what I voted for it, and on the front page of the Steam store, there's a game that just came out called Sex Massage, and I was like, what is this? And I clicked on it, and it's just a fucking porno, like, meet and fuck game. And then I scrolled down, and there's another game coming soon. It's called Magic Pussy.
Hell yeah. What is that about?
Magic Pussy Chapter 2.
We missed Chapter 1.
What happened to Chapter 1?
Dude, I got
to... No spoilers.
Oh, here we go. All right. This harkens back to, like, going to, like, the slut tune and, like, the coming on Amiibo subreddit. But I'm sorry. This is fucking... That is wow. Why is that on the front page of Steam?
It's on your front page.
Yeah, I was about to say, it might be personalized to just your front page.
I'll just add it to my wish list. Why not?
Hey, that helps them out, you know?
Yeah, Pussy for sure.
Same game, two more sloppy.
Yeah, let's Pussy 2. It's like Pussy 1, but better. All right, I don't think I can find what I voted on. It disappeared, so... I voted for Armored Core and 6 Days in Fallujah because those were the only two games that were new that I played this year that they allowed me to vote. So, Cult of the Lamb.
Yeah, whoops. No, this game's fucking great. So, it's funny. Hades is, like, the only roguelike I've never really been able to get into. I have it, and I played it for, like, 30 minutes, and I just wasn't vibing with it, and I've just never gone back to it. But, like, I regularly still go back to Binding of Isaac and just get obsessed with that. I fucking love Don't Starve. Like, I got Don't Starve Console Edition and Don't Starve Together, like, as soon as they were released. Like, I am just a sucker for these kinds of games. And Cult of the Lamb is, like, mixing both of those perfectly, where it's, like, there's the roguelike part where you're out in these, like, procedurally generated dungeons, like, playing the game, but then you also have, like, your community that you're building for your cult, where you have to make sure they have, like, food and your the faith in your cult is up. And so it's like it's like blending both of those aspects into one game, and it scratches my brain so well. I just adore this game, and the soundtrack is fucking banging. The soundtrack is so fucking good.
Look it up.
Every song on it is so good. But yeah, I've been playing the fuck out of that, and I'm glad the physical copy I got is cool. It's the Special Reserve Games copy that has, like, a manual with it and everything. So, like, it's a cool physical copy, but man, I could have been enjoying this for so much longer.
There's 51 unique songs in that game.
I have a feeling this is how we're going to feel about Baldur's Gate when the physical one finally comes out.
Yeah, I expect to feel exactly the same way. It's like, man, I can't believe I waited fucking 6 months to play this game.
Oh, someone's PlayStation woke up.
Not mine.
My controller's almost dead. Muted.
Oh. So, spicy or mild on Cult of Lamb?
Oh, it's ghost pepper.
Ghost pepper. You couldn't even handle the last. Oh, ooh, never mind.
but no, this game's great. I really love it. Like, I'm definitely going for the platinum for this one. And it's cool because the physical copy I have, like, there it has the DLC on the disc, I believe. So I unlocked a bunch of, like, DLC run stuff that I can do after this when I start a new game. So I still have plenty of game to play.
Oh yeah. And we've been playing Payday 3.
Yes.
A lot. Which we started to try to do some of the heists, like, over, like, full hardest difficulty, no like staying stealth the whole time, and we got a pretty good rhythm on a couple
of
them.
We're getting pretty good. Like, we've been able to do a couple of these on our own, like not having to look anything up. Or if we do, it's like look up like what's like the tactic to do, because there's the one that's like it's like robbing a jewelry store in under 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And like we were just going at it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like the way you accomplish that particular challenge is just going a completely different way.
Yeah.
But no, for the most part, we've been able to figure a lot of things out on our own.
We'd love to see you join us, Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to see.
Yeah. I mean, it's on Game Pass.
It is on Game Pass. I should enjoy it while I can before they ban me.
Should we talk about that?
For using their programs.
We should talk about that because I am banned from Microsoft Rewards with a lot of other people that have also been banned. The last couple of weeks, the searches haven't been working. Rewards haven't been working. Basically, all I could do was streaks. And like the Microsoft Rewards subreddit, everyone's like, this is fucked. They're trying to find, they're looking for like, oh, I think if you wait 5 seconds between searches, it'll count. And it's just been a fucking like disaster. It was so, it got so bad that some spokesperson from Microsoft had to like do an interview with somebody and say like, no, we're just kind of working on things right now. And then out of the blue the other day, I went to go check my rewards and it's like, your account has been suspended. And I'm
ripping
like,
pepperoni,
dude, rip in fucking pepperoni, rest in rip. And I went to the subreddit. And I'm like, is this just a me thing? Like, because years ago I used a bot to just do searches. And that is against TOS, but I haven't been using it in ages. But I think the problem is that I was logging into Edge, doing my searches, and then leaving. And I don't use Bing on my other browsers. So there's a clause in the terms of service called like reasonable searches where It literally says like you typing something in to look for information, not to get points. But so many people were getting banned, and it's like I got banned, but my wife didn't, or like this and that. And then like the daily rewards, like they went from like 20 or 30 points to 2 points. So
I saw that today.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking rough. What's your experience been, Josh?
I mean, thankfully, I haven't been banned. And like I was telling you earlier, like I have like 130,000 points right now just sitting there. So that'd be pretty fucking bad if I lost all of that. But
some people are not able to redeem either.
Mm-hmm.
Like they go to redeem and it's like your account is timed out.
Yeah, I'll have to check. I know I've never
Sounds
had any
like you
trouble,
better
but
redeem
I
those quick.
Yeah, well, I have one set for auto redeem, and that went through without any issues on Friday, yesterday. So I'm hoping that's still the same. But I think too, part of the reason is that a lot of the people who are redeeming points are redeeming them for useful shit like Amazon gift cards, whereas I always just redeem it for more Xbox money. So hopefully, I won't have an issue with that. But I'll try it later on. But yeah, as far as the rewards, something similar happened the other night. I like stayed up for an hour and a half because I was like, the searches weren't working. I couldn't figure out why. And then I think that was when they were in the middle of tweaking with everything, because then my daily stuff wasn't popping up. I was afraid I was going to lose my streak because I have a long streak and I'm close to like unlocking the year badge where you've done it every day for a year. So I was like, man, if I fucking miss out on this because of their bullshit, I'm going to be so upset. But like, right, like it resets at midnight, and like at around 11:30, it started working again. So I was like, oh, like, thank God. And I had so much adrenaline over it, I wasn't able to get to sleep until like 2 o'clock. So that like completely like,
what have you
my
done
night.
To him, Microsoft?
Yeah, I know. It's unforgivable.
Sony would never do this.
It's funny. No, I've been waiting for the end of this conversation to make that joke to move it to the next thing. Like, Sony would never. They do something worse. But more on that later.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, but other than that, I found that the 5 second cooldown does seem to work for me at least. So like before I would just do the, I would click on one of the one of the suggested articles that looked like it had the longest title. And then I would just delete one letter and then hit enter and delete one letter and enter until I stopped seeing a points tally. But yeah, now
that
I have
is,
to.
That is not considered a reasonable search.
I know. So,
which, like, you're fucking rolling the dice. I also.
Well, the funny thing now it would be a reasonable search because I'll wait the 5 or 10 seconds before searching for something else. But then I get so bored that I zone out, and then I'm actually doing one search every like 5 minutes instead of every 5 seconds.
I mean, that works. I use a VPN in my house, and I use a VPN on my phone, and VPNs specifically to obfuscate your location, are bannable. And I've never used a VPN in another country. I've never been in another country. I've had this account, I think I might have been in middle school when I made this account, this Hotmail account. So it's like my Xbox is on it. Like I got two. I wrote a ticket. Like, hey, I think I've I don't do any of this stuff. I did say that, you know, I go and I like click on news articles and I read the news articles that are on the front page. Like, I don't do anything else. And I think that probably falls under the reasonable searches clause. And they also said, you could have having more than one account in the same household. But another terms of service says that you can have up to 6 in a household. So there's conflicting TOS, and like one just got changed, and like one guy on Reddit was like, I got banned. My wife didn't. My daughter didn't. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's bullshit because it's like, you know, changing the TOS deep into the program's existence just kind of feels really shitty. It's like, oh, well, you know, you and your wife have been doing it for years, and now all of a sudden we're switching to TOS, so we're banning one of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they just choose to change the rules. Now you're banned.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And it's not one of those things where I don't remember ever seeing any kind of pop-up or anything. Granted, I wouldn't have read it, and most people wouldn't have read it regardless, but I don't remember ever seeing a thing that said, hey, terms of service have been updated. Please check here to acknowledge that you are aware, or anything like that. It's just kind of like it changed overnight. Everything's all in fucking chaos. No one knows what's going on, and now everyone's getting banned. It's crazy.
But yeah, it's disappointing. And I think people are what do I do? And someone's you can do there's an Amazon Amazon Shoppers Reward or something, the shopper panel. So I might look into that and see. You gotta scan receipts. Nah, I'm not fucking doing that.
Yeah,
that's too much trouble.
I'm pretty sure I've looked into that because I remember when that first started popping up, people talking about it. I'm pretty sure you have to be accepted into that. You apply to do it, and so it's people make it out oh, anyone can do this and make hella money with them. But it's no, you have to be accepted.
Yeah. Oh, Josh, you better redeem. Somebody just posted their 234 week streak, a screenshot from their Xbox, and it said, whoops, your rewards account has been suspended. So.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. You better good.
I've honestly been afraid to do anything on it today. If I search too fast, am I going to get in trouble?
There's one guy monitoring, this motherfucker searched too fast.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Somebody posted an email. We would like to inform you that the experience you had about not earning bonus points after your searches is by design. We're always testing new ideas to try to improve your Microsoft Rewards experience.
Although on the bright side, I did see one post on the subreddit that said, how I feel after getting banned from Microsoft Rewards, and it was a picture of someone breaking out of chains.
Because that's what I would that's what I would do. I'd wake up in the morning, auto start my car, so it would do the 10-minute warm up, and then turn on my computer and do my dailies. like, I just like real talk, I don't know what I would have done in like recent memory as to why like I would get fucking banned. Doesn't make sense. So
it's just dumb because, you know, they say they want you to do unique searches and not just do it for rewards, but why the fuck else would you use Bing?
Yeah, well, I liked Bing a lot, but I've switched to either Brave Search or DuckDuckGo because I am that kind of person. So I still use Bing if like the DuckDuckGo image search isn't like getting me anything. So not porn, but like I need an image of something very specific. So anyway, rip and pepperoni. Looks like they're tearing it away, much like Sony is tearing away your paid content.
Yep. Like I was saying, it's like I would make the joke. Sony would never, PlayStation would never, but no, yeah, they'll do something even worse. They'll steal your content you've paid for. Shit like this is like, it's like the worst kind of validation for me, because it's like, I'm so like, yes, preserve physical, like you don't own digital, and it's like stuff like this happens and I'm like, see,
what the hell is that next to you? What is that big like rocket ship looking fucking shelf thing?
That's a CD rack that it like spins, that holds CDs that I got at a thrift store. It was too cool to pass up, but I can't really use it for PS1 games because of like double disc cases that are thick that wouldn't fit. So I just kind of have it. I'm really bad about getting stuff like that. I have a couple other like you know those like small like square things that hold CDs. Like I'll hoard these things because I'm like, I could use these for games, and then it's like, but I can't put all my games in it. So I guess I just won't use it at all.
Okay. But, well, I mean, but, that is quite large. Like, that is quite large. That does take up some space. That is large.
Yeah.
That is quite large.
Kind of big.
Yeah. Josh, would you have something like that? Josh has a formidable figure collection in his living room.
Dude, yeah. It's awful because I saw two other ones today that I wanted, like a Koro Sensei from Assassination Classroom and like an anime inspired Kamala Khan from like Miss Marvel and stuff.
Ooh.
But I had to tell myself no because my reward to myself for applying for grad school was going to be to buy like an Athena figure from King of Fighters and then the female Terry from King of Fighters.
Yeah.
But then there was like a dope ass Kate Bishop that I saw, and then they had two Yu-Gi-Oh ones that I want. So I had like five in my cart. I was like, oh shit. Close it before I make a mistake.
That,
I'm gonna lose my marriage over this.
That female Terry, that's from Kotobukiya, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. Got one right there. That was the one that Josh convinced me to buy, or was like, I'll help you pay for it.
They had it for $105 today, which is like the cheapest I've seen it in a while, but
that's
I
pretty
had to
good.
Say no.
Man, I just don't get figures. I want to be able to pose my shit. I like my action figures.
I, on the other hand, get really frustrated when I pose them and then they fall over, so then I'd rather have them be static.
I mean, that's fair. I just got my Super Saiyan Vegeta SH figure arts today. I found it at Target.
That's dope.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Sony.
Yes, Sony, like 2 days ago, I think, sent out a thing. It's like an official Sony thing. Just saying, like, licensing with Discovery has expired or something, and they're just removing this content from your streaming library if you bought it. And it's like, it's a list of shows.
Oh, yeah, let me see.
MythBusters, Gone Forever.
Deadpool?
Yeah, it's... Huh?
Oh, wait, never mind. Sorry.
But no,
fucking
like,
Forbes. I don't want to subscribe to your shit,
dude,
Forbes.
Yeah, fuck Forbes.
Sorry.
See, that's
sorry.
That's precisely why I picked this up today at Best Buy. which is also getting rid of all physical movies and music next year.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go gobble. Physical,
the steelbook for Spider-Verse.
Oh, I need to go start gobbling stuff up.
So until Sony decides to come directly to my house and take this from my house,
their next move.
Like there was always the like tinfoil hat person, like don't buy, like when iTunes came out, don't buy music on iTunes. You don't own it. You just own a license. And then like when the Kindle came out, they were like, don't buy anything on Kindle because you don't own it. And there was always like the theory that like, hey, they'll take a book right out of your Kindle library. And I don't think that ever happened, but when Roald Dahl's estate wanted to edit his like uninclusive language, like he called people fat and like, we don't want that in those books anymore. They were going to push out an update and change, like if you had like one of his books on your Kindle, it was going to update the fucking Kindle, which is dystopian as hell. Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe it. So Sony is just like, you paid for it. It's in your PlayStation library. Gone. Goodbye. It's deleted, yep. Which Amazon did that a number of years ago.
And they're sure as hell not going to refund you for any of it.
No. Because like, you bought a license to watch that.
Yeah, it's definitely in their fucking EULA that you agreed to that they can do this. But no, if they were refunding people, that would be a different thing. It's like, that still sucks, but like, at least that's a fair business practice, I guess. But
I guess
it's not, it's still not cool, but I mean, I guess no harm, no foul, I guess.
Yeah, get your money back. Which is why I love Steam, because there will be games that were removed from the Steam store that if it's in your library, you can still download it and play it.
Yeah, and that's how all of these things should be. If you buy these things, like, it doesn't matter if it's been delisted. Like, you bought it. But yeah, the fact that Sony's just removing all these TV shows, it's like, I know there's definitely going to be people arguing. It's like, oh, well, you can just watch them on Max, or like, oh, there's these other alternatives. Like, are you really watching this stuff? Like, that's not the point.
Yeah, and it's that kind of a... Okay. Go ahead. I was just going to say, it's like a slight tangent, but I fucking hate that argument. And it's going on right now with like the Street Fighter community, because like, you know, when the game launched, it got a ton of praise because it did a complete 180 compared to like the previous games, which had no content and like nickel and dimed you. But then like when the Ninja Turtles costumes came out, I think we talked about it at the time, but they were just like super expensive. And I think it cost more than the game if you wanted to get all the Ninja Turtles costumes. Mm-hmm. And then the fans were trying to excuse it as like, oh, it's probably because of licensing. They had to pay, they had to charge extra because of the Ninja Turtle license, even though fucking Injustice 2 had all four turtles as like individual playable characters wrapped up in like one purchase. And they were like $7 mm-hmm. compared to like $66 for like Ninja Turtle avatar costumes that don't even affect the game at all. So wait,
doesn't Warner Brothers owns Ninja Turtles?
I don't think it's Warner Brothers. It's Viacom, Nickelodeon, right?
Yeah.
No, yeah, Nickelodeon's owned by Viacom, last I checked. Yeah.
Paramount. Sure, Paramount.
Yeah. But so, then okay, now, most recently... Disregard. But like most recently, they came out with like third costumes for all the main roster characters on Street Fighter. And so when the costumes released the other day, I think they're about $6.50 per costume, and there's like 18 characters, so like the total is like close to $100, but they do their pricing like Fortnite, so you can only buy bundles of coins and not just outright buy stuff. So you have to spend like a minimum of like $100 if you wanted to buy everything. And like all of the forums I keep reading is like 50-50 of people being like, well, no one's forcing you to buy them, or you're just poor. It's just $7. And I'm like, dude, $7 in other games gets you full ass characters, not fucking costumes.
Yeah, it's like, it's not the point. It's what they're doing. That's the issue. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't want to pay for it. It's not that like I demand to watch the Mythbusters I bought from for PlayStation. It's like it's setting a bad precedent that these are just like things happening now.
Yeah, and the more people that defend it and the more people that just like buy it anyway and like mock people who call it out, it's like that's the whole reason why we're kind of where we're at to begin with, because there's always been enough people who are just like, who cares? I'm not poor, so I'm going to dump $100 in this fucking cosmetics or into a fucking digital product that I'm not going to be able to use in 5 years or however long. It's just so, so terrible.
Yeah, it's like I was saying, it's like it, this is like the worst validation, because it's like me hoarding my Blu-rays and shit, and it's like I recently ordered a bunch of like bootleg Blu-rays of shit, because like there's so much stuff out there that like these companies are just making digital and then like removing from their own digital platforms, so there's not even a legal way to acquire these things anymore. So it's like I've gotten some bootleg Blu-rays of shit, and it's like it sucks that this is like what we have to do, but like these companies don't give you a better option. It's like the only moral way to do these things anymore is to just pirate it, because they are just going to take it from you.
Nintendo argument, like,
yeah,
and like that's becoming more and more of an issue now too, because of the way that these streaming services are just straight up deleting shit if it's not successful
enough,
for
write-offs.
Like, like there was Paramount had
started
like
on Cowboy Bebop.
But at least you could still watch Cowboy Bebop. It's still there.
Yeah, there's like still evidence that existed.
What was the show? Oh yeah, there was this Grease show that came out on Paramount, and like I wanted to watch it, but part of me wanted to wait till it was all completely out, since they were releasing it weekly, and then also because I was just busy, so I didn't have time to watch it. And like legit, I think the maybe 2 weeks after the last episode aired, they just yanked the whole thing.
Great.
And it was like you just had no chance. Like, if you didn't watch it as it aired or binge it within the maybe the week or so that it finished, you just can't watch it.
That's insane. Like, I know, like recently the FTC announced it's like looking into Warner Brothers, because they just keep fucking making movies, finishing them, and then not releasing them to write it off on their taxes.
Yeah,
it's like this is not good.
Yeah, and it's that started a slope, because I think like the whole Batwoman thing was the first one, and then like it didn't get as much press, but like right after Warner Brothers did it, it kind of opened the floodgates, and that's when the Grease show got taken down. Disney, I think, cut like a pretty decent size. Like, I think there was a movie that was only up on Disney Plus for like 2 weeks that they got rid of. There was a bunch of shows that like launched with Disney Plus that they got rid of completely.
Yeah, and it was I think there's been two or three shows like that.
Yeah, and like that whole Batwoman thing with Warner Brothers is like kind of the first one, and I think it kind of tipped off a lot of companies. They're like, oh wait, we could do that. All right, shit, let's start purging our libraries too.
Yeah,
if Disney cancels the Rocketeer sequel, I'm Bob Iger. He's gone. Man.
Yeah, he announced his resignation, but it's not going to be until like 2026 or some shit.
The hell?
He's like, he gave his 2 years notice.
Companies now expect a 2 year notice before you leave.
Well, he's probably going to like execute stock options, because he's like, oh, the company's going downhill, so I'm going to do some insider trading and get that taken care of.
Everyone start watching fucking Bob Iger stock trading.
Yeah, like get Unusual Whales, but for Bob Iger.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, yeah, I hate the all digital future. I don't like that it's a thing, and that's why everyone should be buying physical everything, because you don't actually own these things.
I gotta say, the only exception to that rule, which I agree with you, the only exception to that rule is Steam,
because that's your only option.
Oh yeah, no, you can get on fucking Game Pass, you can get on EA, Uplay, Amazon Games, but Steam is the one where it's like, hey, even if this is gone, it's still going to be on the servers and you can still play it. Like, here are the files.
Of all companies, Steam is absolutely the most trustworthy.
Yeah.
Like, Steam time and time again has gone out of their ways to be like the best company.
Yeah.
Even down to like whenever fucking what's his face Gabe was like hand delivering Steam Decks. It's like, yeah, they go out of their way to be like the customer's company.
They recently put out a 20th or 25th anniversary of Half-Life 1 documentary, and they talked about like cut characters or like character models that were going to be Gordon Freeman. And at the end of the documentary, they're like, hey, Half-Life 1 deathmatch updated, all these characters you can play, here you go for free.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then weren't they giving the game away for free too for like a week?
Yep.
And yeah, I completely forgot to log in and redeem it, so I'm upset that I remembered that.
Mm. Like, let's see what I'm afraid to fire up Steam again. I'm gonna get another meat and fuck game.
Magic Pussy Chapter 3.
Yeah, yo, let's go. I'm like curious to see like what the hell that game is. Like, what is it? Like,
it's not one of those games that's like $300 that they're just fishing for at least one person to buy so they can make some money off of it.
No, like Sex Massage is $6.30. Yo, buy
Is that
sex
the regular price or a sale price? Because that's a weird price.
Oh, the regular price is $10. I can get a bundle with sex Massage and the Lust Bunker. What are these games?
There's some casual depraved dude just making these games in his goon cave.
I mean, oh yeah, Josh might have played it. You ever play that anime like fucking game called Sexy Beach?
No, I've never played that.
Oh, me either. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Half-Life 1 is $10 if you really wanted to play it.
Have you ever gone through the eShop and just looked at all the games on sale? Because there's like constantly like porn games, like not like actual porn, but like as close as they could get while still being on the eShop. Because I think there was some kind of like a Black Friday sale and Megan is flipping through the library. And it's like the Switch is the new Vita. It's just like there's so much just like there's so much like garbage, like trash games on there. It's funny. And I remember people saying that too at the time a few years ago, where Sony was all like, oh, we're gonna clean up our store and we're not gonna allow certain types of games anymore, and weebs got really upset, and then the Switch became their new home. And then there was all these memes and stuff about how like Nintendo used to be the family friendly one, and now it's switched.
Literally switched, get it? Bum, bum, bum. All right, click. I'm gonna search I feel like we like blew our load doing that Christmas special. But I'm searching for hentai in the Nintendo eShop. We got Hentai Girls Complete Edition, Hentai Stars Extended Edition, Hentai World Game of the Year Edition, Hentai Japanese
Game of
Goblin
the Year Edition. Who gave it a Game of the Year? Themselves.
Yeah. People just be naming their shit Game of the Year Edition.
What hentai game was it? There was like a legit like, It was like a high profile release, but not like a AAA game. I can't think of what it was, but there was some game that kept branding itself as Game of the Year, and I was like, "Who the fuck gave this Game of the Year?" Like nobody, dude.
Oh, and it was like my mom. Didn't the guy say like my mom gave it Game of the Year or something? Like, oh, I think I gotta look this up. Game.
It's like one of those things, like those book and movie reviews, where it's like, "There's no way this game's anywhere close to Game of the Year," and they're like, "Game of the Year, Polygon."
Yeah, they only quote that one section.
Oh, I'm never gonna find it. Yeah, there was like a game developer recently that was like, my mom rated it Game of the Year. But you know, you can get Hentai Project, Hentai Dream, Elves Christmas Hentai Puzzle, yo, furry Hentai Tangram. Hentai
Don't
World.
Even at me till I can buy these physically.
God, I know I mentioned it on an old show, but I think the Xbox has worse moderation than the Switch store, though, because they just straight up have bootleg games. And there was like a while where we searched for something and like some fucking T-posing King K. Rool Donkey Kong game came up. Like some fucking one that was just called like Gorilla Kong, and it had the cover art from Donkey Kong Country. But then you clicked on it and it was just like a fucking, like this fucking PS1 blocky ass gorilla rolling through like lines. Like, it was just like, I was like, how the fuck are these games on here, dude? They're just straight up using other companies' material. And Xbox was like, nah, that's cool, dude. Just sell it.
Sell it.
You know, you can get Prison Princess on the Nintendo eShop. I need to actually, like, get Criminal Girls. Jesus. It's $2.
Don't even at me until they're available physically.
You can get those. I have physical.
Criminal Girls was physical.
Yeah, that was really? On the Vita. That was on the Vita. There was whenever I would get the hentai grab bag at San Diego Comic-Con, there would always be like a random hentai like Windows game in there. And I'm like, I'm not putting this in my computer. Like, that's going into a computer that like isn't connected to the internet and has no personal identification on it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Do we want to talk about the Game Awards?
I feel like we should. This is the last time we'll record before the Game Awards, right?
Mm. I thought they were, didn't they already
It's on
happen?
Thursday.
Oh.
No, it's on Thursday.
Okay.
Then yeah, we should probably talk about the Game Awards.
Yeah.
I wish Derek was here to participate, but
because he played the indie game in question.
Indie game? There's multiple indie games in question.
Well, like the Dave the Diver was nominated as like best indie game, but it was published by Nexon Entertainment.
No, yeah. If you really like kind of think about it, so for anyone listening, what we're talking about is like the best independent game category is Cocoon, Dave the Diver, Dredge, Sea of Stars, and Viewfinder. And arguably, Sea of Stars is like the only actual independent game here. But you could also, like, why isn't Alan Wake 2 in here? Alan Wake 2 is an independent game. Like,
I guess they're published by Epic, though, right?
Are they?
Alan Wake
2 is published by Epic.
Oh, I guess in that case. Well, still, I mean, it would apply.
But it's still the same. Yeah, it's still the same qualifications as every other game except Sea of Stars.
Yeah, everything else is like published by like a major company except Sea of Stars. And it's like, I know there have been some quotes about like, oh, independent is like a genre now and all this stuff. And it's like, what does this even mean?
No.
Well, I mean, that's part of the reason I don't take the Game Awards that I don't take them that seriously, because there's just part of it is that they're so kind of loose with their own rules, and a lot of times they'll just fucking do shit. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Because I think last year was a good example, because I'm a big fighting game fan, and they had like Sifu nominated for best fighting game. That's not even the same genre, dude. That's a beat 'em up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I guess it qualifies because there is fighting in the game.
And so is like, there's fighting in like 90% of video games. It's like we're gonna have fucking best
Pokemon,
best fighting game. Yeah, best fighting game. Like fucking Street Fighter 6, Legend of Zelda, Baldur's Gate, and Alan Wake. But there was another one where I remember arguing about it too, but like I think there was a few years ago where it was a really strong year for RPGs, but like a lot of the ones that were lesser known weren't even nominated, but then they nominated The Witcher's DLC. Oh. And to me, I was kind of like, I'm kind of like, that's bullshit, because yes, the DLC came out this year, but it's part of a game that came out before. It's not like an original game that came out this year. It's like an extension of a game that already existed. And mm-hmm. if you want to have like a best DLC category, that's fine. But to me, it's not really fair to be like, oh, this game from fucking 2013 got a content update, so let's re-nominate it for best RPG.
Yeah.
It's just like stuff like that. I'm like, to me, though, the Game Awards are kind of just like, you know how people say I watch the Super Bowl for the halftime show? Like, yeah. It's like I watch the Game Awards for the trailers, and then I just kind of zone out whenever premieres. They're...
World right, premiere. Yeah. I think I saw a meme where it was like, the Game Awards, a.k.a. Jeff Keighley shows off game trailers in his mom's basement.
I mean, yeah. I love Jeff Keighley. I think he seems to be like a really like just nice guy, just trying to make a cool thing. So it's like, I don't want to like harp on him, but like, yeah, what the hell is going on? Because like, what, like kind of in line with that is the Game Awards is so victim to like the politics of the games industry, because Hogwarts Legacy doesn't have a single nomination. And it's like, that's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
I think that before Call of Duty, that was the number one selling game this year. And it's like, oh, but it not a single nomination. Okay.
Yeah, 12 million copies in the first week.
Yeah. But no, doesn't qualify for anything. And it's like, I'm not even like trying to like defend Hogwarts Legacy. I don't really care, but like it kind of goes into the like game preservation argument where it's like, I don't care what the politics of any of these things are. That doesn't matter. It was a game that sold extremely well and reviewed extremely well. So it deserves to be recognized. It's like, it doesn't matter what anyone's opinion politically is about it.
Okay. So
by definition, it should qualify.
So I'm on, the company formerly known as NPD, is Circana, has the top 10 selling video games, retail and digital year to date, 2023. Number 10, MLB The Show. Okay. That makes sense. Was that nominated for anything? Probably. Resident Evil 4.
Actually, I don't think MLB was nominated for anything.
Yeah, I don't think it was nominated for anything. I think in the past, MLB games have been nominated for things, but I don't think this year. Do you mind sending this link in the chat, too? I would like to look at it.
Yeah. Resident Evil 4, which definitely was nominated.
And that's kind of a side thing, too, but I'm also kind of against that game being nominated for Game of the Year. I don't think remakes should really be nominated.
I mean, honestly, that should be an entire section, like remake of the year or something. Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 1, then Starfield, then Jedi Survivor.
Yeah, I think Jedi Survivor, Starfield, and Mortal Kombat didn't really get nominated for anything either.
I think Jedi Survivor is in one category.
And then like I think Mortal Kombat's in best fighting game, but I think that's it.
Yeah.
I didn't hit send, sorry. And then we have Modern Warfare 2. Diablo 4, Madden 24.
I don't think Madden's nominated for anything, but I mean, why would it be?
Tears of the Kingdom is number 2, and the number 1 best-selling video game year-to-date 2023 is Hogwarts Legacy.
Mm. And yeah, these numbers have to be a little outdated, because Modern Warfare 3 definitely is on the list. But still, like, yeah, it's probably number two selling game of the year.
Payday 3 is currently fifth for September.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, so they only have up to till September.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
So it could be different. But
yeah.
Yeah, like, I can't comment because I haven't played Hogwarts Legacy. I know that, and it's hard, of course, it's hard to tell where all this feedback's coming from too, because there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be boosting it higher to counteract the controversy. And then there's going to be other people who say it's the worst shit they've ever played because they're trying to they're trying to like create negative buzz around it. But
yeah,
I know that like I feel like it should have had some kind of nomination somewhere. But just from the feedback I've heard from a lot of people who don't care about the politics and did play it, a lot of people that I've talked to have been like, oh, like it's cool for like the first third, and then you just kind of get tired of it because it's a lot of the same shit over and over. And there's a lot of missed opportunities. There's very few spells and like stuff like that. And like I said, I honestly don't give a shit about Harry Potter. I'm probably never playing this game.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the feedback I've heard throughout the year from people who actually like played it, like, didn't really strike me as like a game of the year
person.
Yeah, like title. However, I didn't know. I only really looked at game of the year and then fighting games and RPGs because those are like my genres. I didn't really look at anything else, and I'm pretty surprised to find out that it just wasn't nominated for anything at all.
That's wild. Yeah, because
I mean, I feel like it could have at least qualified for like best action adventure, maybe,
or best like best RPG. Even I don't know what's yeah. All.
It's like. It should qualify for something, right? The number one selling game of the year has to qualify for something.
Here's a insight into it. I know somebody who's a huge Harry Potter fan. Their mother is like a huge Harry Potter fan. Like that's like their thing. It's whenever there's like holidays going on, they're playing the movies. And my friend, I was like, "Yo, are you gonna get it?" Like. That's like your thing, okay? And they go, oh, I can't. Because if anybody on my Steam's friend list or my Discord sees that I'm playing it, I'm done.
Which is so lame.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid. Well, this is like a side tangent. I don't let people try to cancel me, whatever. Attacking the game developers for J.K. Rowling's views... She didn't fucking do anything with the game.
That's right.
And it's like, this is such a tertiary way of trying to get to her that it's like, you're just fucking, these people put so much work into this game.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just minimize that for someone who's so loosely connected to it that they probably don't even know the game exists.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's so lame. But no, yeah, that was one weird thing about the Game Awards. I wanted to make sure that we brought up. Have you guys seen? There was like a letter, something like open letter to the Game Awards or something, saying they need to speak out about the conflict in Israel and Palestine.
An open letter to.
It's like calling for Jeff Keenan to address. Let me see if I can find it. You guys talk about whatever while I Google.
Game Award honorees demand ceremony acknowledge Palestine.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
When you trusted us to be champions of a better future, you gave us the duty to tell you when and how you could do better. What?
Is there a quote in there about like, it says there's like rampant like misuse of like Middle Eastern cultures and games or something?
No, I'm
there's some quote I've seen where it's like it talks about like in like a games in industry that rampantly misinterprets Middle Eastern cultures as being the bad guys, like we need to do better. And it's like, what are you talking about? What games are you talking about? I wish I had the exact quote, but no, I think the whole thing is so funny because like, what is Jeff Keighley supposed to come out and be like, I've solved the conflict.
I've seen.
and the solution is our proud sponsor, Cool Ranch Doritos.
Yeah, and it's like, even if he does like do some heartfelt, like our heart goes out to everyone affected. World premiere. What do people expect? I referenced this on review.
Use the promo code Palestine to get a free burrito on Grubhub.
Yeah, it's like I referenced this on a recent episode. I don't know if anyone got it, but it's like I looked it up afterwards to make sure I wasn't making this up, but when 9/11 happened, MTV News like interviewed Ja Rule on his thoughts on 9/11. This is one of those moments, like, what's Jeff Keighley's views on Gaza?
That was like, and that was how Firefest started.
Like, I saw a bunch of clips of like Pauly D's stance on the economy.
Yeah, Pauly D on inflation.
Yeah, it's like being interviewed on Fox News, like, yo, what are you guys like, doing on a Sunday morning?
Like, what the fuck do these people have to do with this? What is Jeff Keighley supposed to do?
Like, what do you think, Josh? What do you think about Palestine and the Game Awards?
It just doesn't sound like, I don't know, it never would have even crossed my mind. I didn't even know this was a thing until you guys mentioned it, but I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like one of those things.
Surprised?
It honestly just, I mean, not really, because it's one of those things where I feel like they know that they're not going to do it, but it's kind of performative in a way. And the fact that we're even talking about it and other people I'm sure are talking about it is getting their point across, while at the same time, even if it's ridiculous, it's just like, one way or another, it's like, you know, they're getting what they want. And then it kind of reminds me of like when Taylor Swift was doing her concerts over here over the summer, and we're having like this big like hotel worker strike over here, and there was this big push where they wrote an open letter to Taylor Swift saying like, cancel your concerts in solidarity because there's a lot of people flying out and are going to be staying at hotels and stuff. And like, no shit, Taylor Swift's not going to cancel her fucking shows, but like, and I'm sure they knew that, but it's like, the purpose isn't so much expecting them to do it.
Taylor Swift earned the GDP of Palestine on her tour 10 times over. So the hotel workers can, yeah.
I found what I was thinking of. It's this Kotaku article. I'll send the link.
Well.
No, I know. That's what makes it so funny, because this is just bullshit. It's talking about games industry to invest resources and work against against its systemic dehumanization of people from Southwest Asia and North Africa. What if this is systemic? What? Give me examples. Give me examples of this systemic dehumanization of these people.
I feel dehumanized right now.
But it's like, I just love this, because it's like what? Like what? This is so clearly like Kotaku doing a Kotaku, where they're like, we really want to rant about something, so we need to find a way to force it into news.
Like, SAG and all those guys got what they wanted. We don't have anything to be pissed off about. Let's go after like the gaming industry's golden child, Jeff Keighley, and put a gun in his mouth.
Yeah, it's so stupid. It says oh yeah, with the current state of the games industry, silence is a message. Silence is tactic support. Silence is dehumanization of Palestinian lives. Man, not everything has to be about everything else. Maybe this can just be celebrating a cool thing that we all enjoy.
Yeah. Anyway. Turok 3 Shadows of Oblivion got remastered.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, that's pretty cool.
That is cool. I wonder what their take on the humanitarian crisis in Gaza is.
They're dehumanizing
the
dinosaurs.
Dehumanization of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That's
do
it.
Do we have any thoughts on Game of the Year? Who do we want to win, and who do we think's winning?
Let me look up the nominees, because I want Armored Core 6 to win. It's not nominated.
I expect Baldur's Gate 3 to win.
I'm so done with Baldur's Gate 3. It is so fucking annoying.
I can't, again, much like I said about Hogwarts, I can't comment too much on it because I haven't played it. Like you, Logan, I'm waiting for the physical. And I'm also fully expecting it to win because it kind of ticks all the boxes that
it just the Game Awards. It feels like that industry darling game. That's like
completely.
It's gonna win.
You can fuck a bear, and you can be non-binary, and you can humanize goblins. I'm sounding like one of those people. all right, I want to say I do not align myself with Daily Wire.
You're not going to see. Oh, fuck. I don't even remember what it's called. That one fucking movie that keeps playing on trailers on YouTube.
Lady Balls. Lady Ballers.
Yeah, Jesus. Anyway. But as someone who just hasn't played Baldur's Gate at all and won't until next year, like, legit, some of the things I hear about it are super exciting. Like, someone mentioned on, like, a Reddit thread I was reading that, like, a quest item was sitting on a barrel, but he moved the barrel. And then the dialogue changed when they accepted the quest, where the person's like, "Where'd that barrel go?" And it's like, "Oh, like the fact that they put that much care and attention to detail is really cool." And that all sounds great, but legit, I have no fucking idea how this game plays. And to me, as like somebody who values gameplay over everything else, this straight up sounds like one of those games where they're so in, where the audience is so absorbed in the story and the characters that this gameplay is secondary. And I legit have been hearing about this game since it came out in like August. I still have no fucking idea how it plays because no one ever talks about playing it. Everyone talks about who they're fucking and who which character should be dating which character and these dialogue trees and like, stuff, which is all cool, but to me that's all window dressing for the core of the game, which I still know nothing about
how it plays. But it's mostly like most of the stuff I've heard is like highlighting how creative it lets you be. Like I don't know like much about like granularly how it plays. I wish Derek was here to explain it. But I know I've heard a lot about people saying like, yeah, there's like some fight where I found out if you like just you can just like cover the area in oil and light it on fire and you just instantly win. Like It sounds like there's a lot of really creative like problem solving it lets you take advantage of. But again, I haven't played it. Of the nominees, I've only played Spider-Man 2 and Resident Evil 4. And like we were saying, I don't even know if Resident Evil 4 should qualify.
No.
It was great, but it's remake.
But it's a remake of what's considered one of the greatest games of all time that almost feels like cheating.
Yeah, it really does. It's like it's kind of just set up like, oh, well, this is also the greatest game of all time.
We remade the greatest game of all time. It's one of the best games of the year.
to comment on like the actual gameplay loop of Baldur's Gate, it is very like D&D. Like you will be walking around like a dungeon, kind of isometric. But then you get into a combat. In D&D, if you haven't played it, your character can move in feet or yards or whatever. You can move, you have a move roll, and then like it's kind of like a tactical RPG. The closest thing, Josh, fucking Fire Emblem.
Yeah, from what I'm seeing, that's pretty accurate.
There you go. Fire Emblem. Yeah,
well, yeah, which interests me because I love Fire Emblem.
Yeah, it's like I'm really excited to play it. I think I'm going to really like it because I've had phases in my life where my friends and I were super into role-playing games like D&D and stuff. So it sounds really fun, and I'm sure I'm going to love it. But I get what you're saying, where it's like people don't really talk about the gameplay.
Yeah, people don't actually talk about playing it. I feel like I could get the same experience that everyone's describing from watching someone else play it, which to me isn't really Game of the Year. But again, I'll reserve judgment on that until I actually play it. But amongst everything that I've played, like I've played every other game that's nominated. And for me, and I'm glad you mentioned creativity, Logan, because I played a lot of Zelda when it came out. And then since then, I played Alan Wake, Mario Wonder, and Spider-Man. And I'm like, you know, like, do I really like Zelda? I figured was going to be my clear game of the year. But then I played some of these and was kind of on the fence. And then I saw someone just the other day release like a full recreation of the Godzilla trailer through Zelda.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, what other game gives you that creativity? Cause then I started remembering all the other things that came out when the game first released, like fucking people made Metal Gears, people made all kinds of crazy ass. And I have zero creativity and zero understanding of physics, so I'm never going to do this shit. But like, just the fact that the game has such freedom and gives the players so many different options to the point where you can create a fucking Godzilla trailer and you mm-hmm. can create Metal Gears and you could just do so much with the systems that they created. Like, I feel like after reflecting on that combined with all the time that I've spent on it personally, it's like, that's probably still my pick.
Yeah, and it's like, it, like, you bringing that up reminded me of all the clips I saw of, like, some boss fight where someone just basically creates, like, a rocket that launches the boss off the platform and they just win. So, like, it's for, again, I haven't played it, so, but from what I know, it almost feels like it has that same sort of creativity that people praise Baldur's Gate for, where you can come up with these creative solutions. Just Zelda also has, like, the quality, like, open world gameplay mm-hmm. on top of that.
Right, yeah. And it's just because the way, I know you just said you hadn't played it, but it's like the way that it works is like you can just combine different items or objects in the map, and some of them are tools that are actually meant to be used in certain ways, and then others are just like random items that you find in the map, and you're pretty much free to combine any collection of items up to a certain point. And the further you get into the game, they let you combine more and more pieces. Mm-hmm. But it's like there's not even like really a framework. You're like kind of only limited by your imagination. And I think that's what makes it so special, because it's like, you know, there's a lot of games where they give the player the ability to like create objects or weapons and stuff, but it's always usually within like within certain guidelines. And this one almost feels limitless. Like you can pretty much do anything that you can think of. And like I said, I have zero imagination, but some of the shit that people were able to do is just completely crazy. And then mm-hmm. even aside from all of that, the game itself is just still so solid. The way that I know people complain that there's not enough story in it, but to me, this game handles story in a way that's personally my favorite way of doing story, where it's kind of wrapped up into the gameplay. Mm-hmm. So like the more you explore the map and the more you're interested in the story, you'll do like either side quests or search out like items that give you more and more story as you play, from like a combination of just like lore pieces or just like straight up unlocking cutscenes if you choose to go down the paths that you need to go to be able to kind of dig deeper into the history of this version of Hyrule. Mm-hmm. And that's just another thing I love, where just the amount of freedom it gives you. And the first game was like this too, but like you could essentially go straight to the last boss if you want to. It's going to be really hard because you have shit equipment, but you can go straight to the end of the game if you want, and then you'll watch the ending, but you'll miss a lot of that context. Whereas if you fully explore the map, you're rewarded with more story through maximizing your time with the gameplay itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's like a symbiotic that's like a type of synergy. It's like you're rewarded with more story by exploring more of the game, and then which gives you even more incentive to explore the game itself.
Yeah.
And then if you get tired of that, you also have the freedom to just move on and not even worry about it.
You know, I think I want to
play these Zelda games so bad, to the point I multiple times this year I've contemplated getting a Switch specifically to play Zelda.
I just checked my Tears of the Kingdom save. I am currently just about to leave the Temple of Time.
Mm-hmm.
So still in the starting area. And I last played it on May 29th. My biggest
pretty much when it came out.
Yep. Played it for 5 hours. My biggest gripe, now that we're talking about it, I might dump the cart and play it on my Steam Deck.
Yeah.
That might be an option. Because you need to like pull your console keys off of your Switch to emulate. So
is this just for the convenience of having one device to play them all, or is there any advantage to playing it on your Steam Deck?
Frame rate drops. I was just so pissed at the frame rate drops. So much so that while I was playing it, I took my Switch apart and put new thermal paste on there. I literally stopped playing it. I'm like, this is annoying. So Speaking of Steam Deck, did I talk about this on the show?
Not on this show. You mentioned it a little bit on our special.
Oh, of
the background.
Do you hear this? That's the Velcro on my Steam Deck OLED limited edition. Look at the inside of the case. Look at that. Look at that. It's orange.
Yeah, audio listeners.
Yeah. Well, this will be up somewhere. You can see through it. Like, I can not. Well,
not quite how that works.
Yeah. But the coolest thing about it is they said, like, removable liner for the case. So this is what the case looks like. You know, much, much
looks like a case.
Yeah.
To an electronic.
But you just tear out the inside, and the inside liner, well, the bottom one's a little, it just comes out, and you have a smaller case. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Josh, you seem like the kind of guy that'd be into cases.
Not really, but that was cool.
I thought it was just going to be, it is genuinely a huge performance upgrade. Like the old one would struggle on, Armored Core 6, and this doesn't even matter. Like I can have it at real high settings, high. And it doesn't even bat an eye. This is the first OLED screen I've ever owned. I'm a convert. I am a convert. Do either of you have, Josh, you seem like you'd have the Switch OLED. Do you have that?
I do, and I don't really notice a difference, to be honest. I don't know, though. I'm really, really not like a visual person. Like, unless it's complete shit, like... Like, I'll see movies in IMAX and then just completely forget I watch it in IMAX. Like, I don't, like, I don't know, visuals and, like, graphics to an extent just never did it for me. I think the only reason I got the Switch OLED to begin with was because it was the Zelda-themed one. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, Tears of the Kingdom's going to be the last major Switch game, so let's go all out. Little did I know they fucking have, like, 2 more years worth of games scheduled to come out because they're never going to make a Switch 2. I don't know if we talked about that on any of the previous shows, but there was like that press release, or like I think in their investor call, they basically said that they essentially said that they're working on a Switch 2, or that the Switch 2 is almost ready to go. However, they're not planning on releasing it until a Switch 1's sales start dipping, which doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yep, that's never happening.
That so, seems odd. But
yeah, so it's like, dude. But yeah, but I do have it, and I, like, I'll play, the only reason I use my OLED more than my original one is because the Joy-Cons work on the OLED. but yeah, it's brighter, and it looks more vibrant, but it's not, like, it doesn't, like, blow me away or anything.
Was I muted the whole time?
No, I heard you.
No.
When did I mute? Did you mute me?
I don't know.
Weird.
I heard you the entire time.
Oh, yeah, we heard you talking about the liner and everything, though.
Huh. Well, I made it was a mistake taking this out because it doesn't want to go back in.
You fucked up.
Yeah. Oh well. So, well, good. all of like me cursing and everything isn't going to be recorded.
Before we begin wrapping up, though, I would just like to point out how insane this year's been for games.
Oh yeah,
like the fact that like, yeah, the game of the year category this year, it like there's some questionable stuff, you know, Resident Evil 4 and everything, but like this is one stacked ass year.
Dude, did you see the game of the year award nominations for the Golden Joystick?
No, because
they pretty much have like every high-rated game, essentially. So it's like a much wider pool. But let me see if I could find it. But when I read over their list, I was like, dude, it really put into perspective how crazy this year was for like really great, like high-quality games.
I think that
Forbes and their goddamn ad blocker bullshit.
They already finished.
The Golden Joysticks.
They're already done.
Some of their nominees are weird because it's like they have best PlayStation game with Jedi Survivor nominated, and then best Xbox game like Dead Space, even though those games are on each platform.
Yeah, that's weird.
They're both from
EA. And then it's like Armored Core is on best PlayStation game, but not best Xbox. And it did come out on Xbox, right?
It had to have. Came out on Steam.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Damn, like, yeah, this Ultimate Game of the Year category is long as fuck.
Yeah, so let's read them off. Okay, so Alan Wake 2, Spider-Man 2, Survivor,
What category? It's at the bottom. Ultimate Game of the Year. Okay.
Yeah, Jedi Survivor, which I actually just finished, but we could talk about that next time.
Oh, yeah, I subscribed to you on Twitch.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I finished it on Monday. It was really good in the last third, but nothing kind of happens in the first two thirds. So, but I'll talk about it more next time. But Resident Evil 4, Starfield, Baldur's Gate 3, Cocoon, Final Fantasy 16, Diablo Cocoon? 4.
It's the game from the creator of Limbo and Inside Out.
Oh, is that Phil Fish?
That's Fez.
Oh,
but no, it was in one of the showcases that we made an episode for. It looks really cool, but I don't think any of us were super hyped on it.
I don't even know. Yeah.
But then Final Fantasy 16, Diablo 4, Forza Motorsport, Armored Core 6, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Super Mario Wonder, which I also finished since our last show and was also really good. Street Fighter 6, Metroid Prime Remastered, which again, I wouldn't nominate. Like, that's even worse than a remake. They nominated a remaster. And then Hi-Fi Rush, which I can't believe that game came out in January and I completely forgot about it because it's been so long. Like, it feels like it came out years ago, but that game is amazing.
I was getting that game confused with what was that Xbox game?
Bomb Rush Cyberpunk?
No, it came out a few years ago.
The one I was talking about on Game Pass?
It's the one where you're like the
roller skating one.
Yeah, well, not it wasn't like roller skating per se, but it was like
sounds like Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
No, because it came out years ago. It was by the Rage developers.
Bethesda.
Yeah, it was like Orange Sun.
Hi-Fi Rush was published by Rage Bethesda
developer. Was it the guy that was the? No, that's id. Bulletstorm. It was Rollerdrome? No, it was an years ago. It was an Xbox game, and it was like you were in a super stylized, cel-shaded city, and you could like grind on these.
Jet Set Radio?
No, not that years ago. hold on, I got this game where you grind on rails. Xbox One.
Blink. Blink's the time sweeper.
All right, I need to switch to Bing because DuckDuckGo isn't helping. Xbox One game where you grind on rails and paint. What was it called? Dude, I'm...
Exactly like Bomber Cyberpunk and Jet Set Radio.
This was like a launch title.
For Xbox One?
Yeah, or maybe Series.
Jet Set Radio launched on the Xbox.
Nah, not that old. I'm I'm losing my mind.
I Google Xbox skating game and the Wikipedia article for Jet Set Radio Future is the first result.
But it was
on that note, if anyone is still listening,
Sunset Overdrive.
Oh, the Insomniac game?
Yeah. Was that Insomniac?
Oh, yeah. That was the game that scared Sony into buying them.
Yeah.
Sunset Overdrive. I got that and Hi-Fi Rush confused. I'm like, didn't this game already fucking come out?
No. Well, I I'm trying to play through like as many of like the Game of the Year nominees as I can. So I just picked up Hi-Fi Rush again. Like I started playing it back when it came out. Mm-hmm. And that game is a horrible, horrible game to like drop for months and then pick back up because there's so many mechanics. Like I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. Like I eventually got back into it, but it took a while because I don't know if either of you have played it at all, but it's similar to like Metal Hellsinger from a few months ago, but it's like a, essentially like it's like a Devil May Cry, like PS2 God of War type action game with some like, with some light platforming. Like I honestly feel like it's kind of a mix between like Mega Man and like God of War and Devil May Cry, but it's like everything is to like a rhythm with with like rhythm game mechanics. So your attacks are more powerful and you unlock more like effects when you attack and jump and block to the rhythm of the music. But because it's like there's like one button, like one ability takes down enemies with shields and another enemy, like another ability takes out enemies with like that are like bulky and can't get knocked down otherwise. And then there's like this button blocks this type of attack and this button blocks this type of attack and this attack can be parried or this one can only be dodged and you have to do it all to the rhythm of the music. So it's like I picked it back up after like 5 months of not playing and I'm like, what the fuck? What am I doing? Like, how are you supposed to play this? And like, so yeah. So my recommendation is like, if you play it, just try to play it when you have enough time to run straight through it. Cause otherwise you're just, especially the further you get in and they add more mechanics, you just get so fucked over by not knowing what's going on.
Okay. But, so anyway, maybe Bing is fucked up. Cause I was looking up, images for Hi-Fi Rush. And I ended up getting Rule 34 for the game Friday Night Funkin'.
Oh, no. That's just your settings.
Maybe that's why I got banned from the rewards site.
Yeah, they don't want you. Yeah.
They were spying on your activity and saw what you were searching for. But yeah, rounding out the golden joysticks after Hi-Fi Rush was the Dead Space remake.
Which, again, would fit in a remake category.
Right. And then Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, Lords of the Fallen, and Sea of Stars. And one small gripe, because this is like voted on by like game critics, right? Mm-hmm. So they nominated Street Fighter VI for Game of the Year, but not Mortal Kombat. But when the awards came out, they awarded Mortal Kombat as Fighting Game of the Year over Street Fighter. So I don't understand how that works.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Mortal Kombat's not good enough to be nominated for Game of the Year, but it's a better game than Street Fighter VI, which was nominated for Game of the Year.
Yeah. And it's like, shit, with that list, you're telling me you couldn't have fit one more game on there?
Right. Right.
You had to limit it to what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It had to be, what, 19 games? It couldn't be 20?
Right. And like that's the crazy thing too, though, because it's like, and I feel like I took us off track a little bit, but like the whole point of bringing that up is just how stacked this year was.
Yeah,
like, and it's like, and there's still so many omissions. Like Lies of P is not up there, and I've seen tons of people say that that's like Game of the Year worthy. And then like Mortal Kombat 1, like we were just saying, like if it's good enough to beat Street Fighter, it should be nominated with Street Fighter on Game of the Year.
Some of these categories are wild. Best gaming hardware. They've got some headsets, a monitor, a hard drive. And then the winner, PlayStation VR 2.
I feel like the hard drive ain't got nothing on the device that actually plays games.
Yeah. Did anybody play Final Fantasy 16? I heard it was surprisingly good.
I've heard a lot of people talking about how it's surprising it wasn't included in Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's nominated for Best RPG, but not Game of the Year. But yeah, that's actually, like, once I finish Hi-Fi Rush, and then, like, my list right now is Hi-Fi Rush, and then Resident Evil, Dead Space, the Ghost Trick remaster, and then Final Fantasy. So hopefully by next show I'll have at least started it.
Damn, you can play games at a pace I cannot even conceive.
I don't get it. Like,
well, part of it is I'm unemployed.
Yeah,
I guess that's fair.
And like literally my job right this second is to like entertain Megan by playing games while she's working. So it's kind of my job right now.
Yeah, I wish. I really need to figure out what this mental deficiency I have is. I can't seem to play like games alone. Like I will sit and wait for Logan to text me back and say, all right, let's get on. And I'm sitting here like staring at, I bought Prey 2 on the Steam sale. And that has a phenomenal Steam Deck control scheme. Like, it's probably the best one I've ever seen. And I set the game up, configured the settings, because I played a little bit of it, so I know what the, like, the beginning, like, act is. And, like, I didn't even get out of, like, my apartment. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna turn that off, turn the Steam Deck off, and wait for Logan to get online to play Payday. Why do you think that is, guys? Josh, you
just
were
like multiplayer games more.
No, I mean, like, I don't know. I played the last time I put a bunch of time into SnowRunner is when I was on a plane for 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, no man's alone when he's with his truck.
A thing I just want to point out that I realized about the Golden Joysticks too is that Hogwarts Legacy is not nominated for any of these either.
But also,
that's weird too, considering they nominated like 19 fucking games.
Right.
That was 20, and they were like, hey, we can't let this go through. Somebody from the Golden Joysticks did, in fact, come out in support of Palestine. So that was some controversy.
Oh, they're better than the Game Award.
That's what some of it is. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that adds a little bit more context if one group did it and they're like, oh, well, the other group should do it too. But I mean, again, yeah.
It's still stupid.
Yeah. And I still feel like it's more that they know that they're not going to actually do it. It's just more that it gets the conversation out there.
Yeah.
Let's end this off with a meme review. Logan sent me a Game Awards meme about the audience at the Game Awards being poisoned with mustard gas.
Oh yeah, that meme where Jeff Keighley just stares voidly into the screen while the auditorium fills with mustard gas.
And that reminded me of the Moscow theater crisis. And when was it? 2002, a theater, like stage play theater in Moscow, got raided by Islamist separatists from Chechnya, and they had like all these people held hostage. And guess what, Josh? Guess what the Russian military police and the Spetsnaz did to get the hostages out?
Oh, what did they do?
They pumped the theater full of aerosoled fentanyl, knocked everyone out,
went in,
pulled all the hostages out, and then started to administer antidote. But they fucked up, and like 139 people died.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know why my brain was like...
So you just made me remember something I just saw too. It's not exactly the same. It's actually not that similar at all, except it was in a theater, but it was like a movie theater and in like India. And I guess people were so excited to see this particular actor show up in the movie that a bunch of people brought fireworks. And so like as soon as this actor shows up on screen, they just started lighting all these fireworks and just started going off in the middle of the theater. And there's like sparks and shit flying on everybody. And like, I thought that was going to be the most surprising part, but the worst part was apparently this wasn't even the first time. And this particular actor put out like messages on his social media prior to this saying, please don't set off fireworks at my movies.
Oh, man. Oh, all right. We're going to call it there. We'll be sure to check out the Geekscape live stream Friday, December 8th, all day. Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. Geekscape Forever on Instagram has the info. Check us out, Dynamic Resolution Show on Instagram, and look for us on the live stream and tell us what you think of the performance.
Yeah. But before we go, I started to mention this earlier when we were talking about Jet Set Radio. The Jet Set Radio future tapes I made, they're coming back very soon, so stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Hell yeah.
MMRY.com. MMRYCRD.shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh, where do you make your bootleg products?
Nowhere, but I do make questionable streams and social media posts at Inu Joshua, just about every streaming platform, social media platform, and gaming platform.
Yeah, get it to it. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
And then don't forget, when you see Jeff Keighley at the Game Awards, make sure to set off all the fireworks that you have.
Yep.
BYOM, bring your own mustard gas.